It's a letter. I will start with some routine subject, and then I will tell you something really astonishing, which at least it was a terribly much astonishing for me. So this is a new article. It's just written during this week and not yet sent to publication, but will be sent, I guess, to Physica D in the next week by Pavel Lushnikov and myself. And what about a pointer? It's a laser pointer. Yes. Yes. So I will start with the subject which I consider is familiar to. Now it's more or less routine that if you study free surface ideal hydrodynamic with free surface and in presence of gravity and capillarity, it's a Hamiltonian system. And it's especially simple Hamiltonian system if your potential, your flow is potential. If the flow is potential, then you just introduce the shape of the surface with eta, the shape of the surface, depending on two horizontal coordinates. And psi is a potential, hydrodynamic potential evaluated to the surface. And this pair, of course, in virtue of the fact that potential satisfied to the Laplace equation, right? The potential V is gradient phi. And divergence V is zero, so Laplace of phi is zero. And you have a Dirichlet-Neumann boundary problem. If you define the value of potential on the surface and zero of normal derivative on the bottom, you have the well-posed Dirichlet-Neumann problem. And then if you know psi, you know you can restore the whole flow. And then the problem is that you cannot express your Hamiltonian, which is just, I forgot to say that this Hamiltonian H is just energy of the fluid, right? And the problem is you cannot express your energy in explicit form because your energy is a sum of kinetic and potential energy. Potential energy is not a big deal. For instance, for gravity, just the integral eta by r. The r is xy. However, kinetic energy, it is minus 1/2 psi m ds. If psi n is normal derivative. And to express it, you have to know the Green function for this Dirichlet problem, which is certainly cannot be expressed in closed form. And what you can do, you can make expansion in powers of a natural parameter, which is physically mu, it's called Ka. It's actually K gradient eta. This is the steepness of the surface. So how far the surface deviates from the horizontal. The steepness is dimensionless parameter, and it's used for to as a parameter for expansion. In reality, the steepness is it depends, but in typical case, in the stormy sea, it is 0.1 or so. But it's not an easy question because it depends on the condition. For instance, if the wind just start blowing, it's higher, then it's even less. Anyway, there is some critical value of steepness. If you look for stationary waves like Stokes wave, stationary wave, the steepness less than some mu critical, which is 0. Something like that, less than 0.5. This is a critical steepness of Stokes waves. All right. What person, somebody can do it, just perform an expansion of kinetic energy in terms of this, in powers of this steepness. Thank you. If you make this expansion in powers of this steepness, then I will return to this point later on. It's not a big deal to make a calculation. Actually, as Walter showed, then the procedure was developed by Adamar, right? In the beginning of this of the last century, and you can get the recursion formula to calculate and this Hamiltonian. And actually, the to expand the Hamiltonian is the same thing as expansion of the Green function. So you can find it in any orders, and if you go to take only three first terms, so it's quadratic, cubic, and quartic terms, so the coefficients on expansion are following. This is A, very crucial. Explain the notation right, that H is a Hamiltonian, is total Hamiltonian, total energy is H is H naught plus H1 plus H2. This is H naught. So psi is the potential on the surface. Psi k is a Fourier image, the same eta k is shape of surface. Eta k is Fourier image. And eta k is the Fourier image of a surface deviation. Yeah, Fourier image. That's in Fourier space. And then everything is clear because H is depth, G is the gravity acceleration, sigma is capillarity. And this is the Hamiltonian, right? And this Hamiltonian, if you write the equation, just in X space, in terms of this Hamiltonian, you get the following system of equations, which the operator A, it is just a convolution type of operator with the symbol AK. Well, it's of course non-local integral operator. However, if you implement Fourier method, you can easily cope with this problem, because using the fast Fourier transform, you keep simultaneously two arrays in XK, in X space and in K space, and the operation of multiplication, because it's a polynomial, right? Cubic operator is the most bad. Yeah, the operation of multiplication are easy in X space, but this a differentiation or taken of operator A on K, it's equally easy in K space. So H is depth. So it's a suitable equation for numerical simulation, and several groups in the world are working on this, use these equations, and at least two groups. One is our group, and second group in Torino, of Osborne and Miguel Honorato, and there is a. And now I show you some results. Ratio of well, you mean of course small, but non-linear. But all this actually all calculation I will speak about are done on infinite depth. So far, equations are good for finite depth, but it's the next step. We have just some preliminary result of calculation of working with this equation on finite depth. But mostly, I will speak about infinite depth. And from scientific view, there, of course, you can think about so I think like study of developing or some prediction model and practical thing. But so far, we like to formulate just some pure scientific questions. Probably I will keep this. Second. Keep equations, right. Good idea. I will do this. Okay. Now, the first question is instability of stationary waves. It is important to keep everything in order. Instability of stationary waves. Now I will work a little bit on the blackboard. And if you look for, suppose eta is I omega t plus I k r, so omega in the deep water is g k plus sigma k cube, something like this. And you can study exact nonlinear solution of equations such that eta is 8 on x minus ct. This is a classical subject, classical question, started by Nekrasov, Levitchevita, and then thousands of authors since this moment. And the waves are, the proof is, the proof of the existence is, has proven, in some cases, it's a proven in a pure gravity case, and it's proven in pure capillary case. To prove existence in the presence of both capillarity and gravity is a more tricky problem, because if you look for, if you draw any straight line, it crosses in two points, right? So it means that your wave is not, have not one scale. It has also one scale and also a modulation on this scale. The first scale is defined by this k naught, and second is by that one, right? Kc. Anyway, for some diapason it's proven, but what's important? So I will speak only about two limiting cases. One is capillary cases like that. Then omega is just sigma k cubed in 1/2. And second is gravity waves. Omega is root square on jk. Yes, I study only these two cases. In general, yes, it's monotonic case. And, well, what's interesting that in both cases, waves are unstable. Stationary waves. They are unstable, and this instability is, I don't remember who actually said about the instability of capillary waves. It was so trivial that it's difficult to restore who was the first, because it just, if you have a wave with wave number k naught, you can, it's unstable with it's a simple parametric process which leads to formation of secondary waves satisfying to these conditions. So it's your k naught is here, so it will be like that, right? For instance, it's k1. Some resonant curve is defined by these equations. Two-dimensional, yet. In one-dimensional case, there is no instability in of that type. You have to go to higher order, because only solution is k equals 0, but the coupling coefficient is 0 for this case. I said, sure, yeah, it's a three-dimensional station. Yeah, I mean, the two-dimensional, it's a total three-dimensional situation, yeah, because k is two-dimensional vector. How to understand this equation? Very easy, because it's just omega naught equal to omega 1 plus omega 2. It's a resonant condition. It's a resonant condition. If two waves appear with k1 and k2 of small amplitude, they are connected to the initial wave, and they start suck energy. It's a typical parametrical resonance, standard parametrical resonance. nothing more. Second? Yeah, actually for cardinal amplitude, you have some mismatch here, delta, because dependent on amplitude. Otherwise, you cannot solve this equation for if you work in periodic boundary conditions. You're in a box. Your k are integers, and this equation cannot be satisfied for integers in virtue of the Fermat theorem. By the way, just because you cannot find any integer satisfying to this equation, right? Anyway, but it's not an obstacle, because this equation is for final amplitude waves is should be satisfied with some finite accuracy, and there is some width in allowed width or some width of outside of this curve, some strip outside of this curve, and that's okay. Yeah, yes, you can calculate all unstable modes immediately and calculate, of course. And then I show you how the unstable modes actually grow. It's a logarithmic scale on the vertical coordinate. This is the part of resonant curve. And you, of course, never could exactly hit the resonant curve, but you are close to the resonant curves, and the difference, these are how the harmonics with different kx, k1, which is shown here, behave in time. They grow exponentially. The closer you are to the resonant curve, the higher is your growth rate. where is my pointer? I'm sorry, I put it somewhere. But so far, what I'm telling you is just a... probably put it in my book, in my pocket? No. Things behave wrong, yeah. The older you're getting, the worse things behave. They start to disappear. The less they like you. Okay, so you see that the different harmonics, in the second, it's just one, the second is defined by this condition, and you see that then probably the most optimal one, which is this one, right? Okay. And this is, now how it looks in the k-space. In k-space, if you make a modeling, you first start with such harmonic, one harmonic. It's the initial wave. And this is the resonant curve. And if you wait some time, you see that the secondary wave appears. Here, and the coupling coefficient is the most strong, so they grow. And then if you wait a little bit, Yes. Two. I is an integral operator with the following symbol. R applies to all this. No, I is two dimensional. I is the operator, it's the following operator, it's the root square on minus G Laplacian tans minus H Laplacian. Let's say you can write an integral form, of course. Yes, with surface tension. The surface tension is here and here. In the Hamiltonian, US is a Hamiltonian because B, and here you also has a surface tension. Now you see how it goes. It's just I start. Development of instability. Then if you wait a little bit, you see that instability leads to formation of the whole bunch of secondary waves. And if you wait for a more long time, now if you look for level lines in K space of eta square, they look like that, right? But if you wait for a more long time, each of these waves become unstable. It in its turn, so they produce the wave of third generation, fourth generation, and so on. And if you wait for a long time, if you make level lines, they look like that. You see, they are secondary resonant surface. I have to mention that this work is made in collaboration with one outstanding person, Sasha Dyachenko. I will mention many times his name today. And also with Sasha Karatkevich, both in the Landau Institute. Okay, if you look for the picture of spectra, it's like a spectral picture again, yeah. The spectral behavior at that moment looks like that. So it's a pretty chaotic picture. And if you wait for a long time, it will lead you to formation of full developed turbulence and establishing of Kolmogorov type spectra. The Kolmogorov type spectra in this case are following eta square on k is proportional to k in minus 19 by 4 And this spectrum was observed in our work, publications work with Andrei Pushkaryov and published several years ago. If necessary, I will find an internet and correspondent pictures. I didn't this, but because it's not a main part of my talk, what I'm speaking about so far is an introduction. Now let us go to gravity case, for case of gravity waves. In the case of gravitational wave are used for wave in general relativity. So gravity wave. So in gravity wave, this resonant condition is forbidden because this function omega on k it is convex function, and for convex function, of course, such equation is not satisfied because there is a strict inequality of this strict inequality, which one? I think this is strict inequality of such type, right? So you cannot go to this you cannot satisfy this condition. Hence, the only possibility for instability is go to the next order and study the resonance of satisfying to the following equation. Then omega is just g on k. Say again? Then opposite inequality, right. Opposite inequality, I agree. Opposite, right. Well, and then this condition could be satisfied. And now this instability is called Benjamin Fair instability. It's actually interesting to look at this, it's the history of the question. Who first invented this instability? I give you exact information, which is can be supported, confirmed by the publications. The first person who said about this instability was Sir Lighthill in 1965. Lighthill formulated so-called Lighthill criteria, which is actually very simple criteria. He said what? You have any nonlinear medium, and your omega on k for linear waves, it goes to some nonlinear, to some function omega on k plus lambda ak square, where a is the wave amplitude. That's a very simple thing. Like in a nonlinear oscillator, your frequency depends on the amplitude, the square. And then, if your omega also is a function, now if you calculate you study the following product, omega prime prime lambda. And if this is negative, so your wave is unstable. This is a theorem of Lighthill. It's called Lighthill criteria. Now it looks very elementary because for description of this wave, you can to derive the nonlinear Schrödinger equation, right? for envelope. And it is a question what type of nonlinear Schrödinger equation, focusing or not, or defocusing. And this is exactly a condition to have a focusing nonlinear Schrödinger equation. So lambda was calculated by Stokes in 1847. And it is, lambda is 1/2 omega and k ak square, where a is a wave amplitude and k is wave number. It's a light, it's a Stokes formula. It's positive. So omega prime prime is negative, it is obvious from here. So it was Light-Hill criteria. And moreover, Light-Hill calculated that the instability growth rate is behave exactly like delta O is omega. If you look for I omega t plus kx, so omega, it's a modulation rate. B omega is modulation rate. Omega is just proportional to this, the omega, imaginary part of omega, so gamma, imaginary part of omega. So just, I can say omega is just proportional to this product, prime prime lambda, 1/2 p, with some coefficient, it could be calculated. I don't remember by heart this coefficient, but 1/2 probably. So it was a Light-Hill result. And on my opinion, it made a very big impact to the, at least for me. I think the next publication was my publication of 1966 in JATP. Translated into English, when I found instability and calculate the growth rate. In the next year was published the work of Benjamin and Fair. And both these articles, they completely were not aware about my publications. But what say is difference? I studied the full two-dimensional case. They studied only one-dimensional case, the modulation in one dimension. However, they made an experiment. This is certainly a great merit. And they saw this instability in the real wave tank. This article is somehow completely unknown. However, my next article was published in 68, widely cited, and has thousands of references. Well, anyway, I don't mind that instability is called Benjamin Fair, at least because at least they saw experimentally this instability. But just for to be accurate, we have to know history. To the I did. No. In this also three-dimensional. They're the same dimensional as capillarity. It is how. What do you mean the dimension? Two-dimensional in horizontal plane. Of course, one-dimensional is zero. So if you look for this equation, if you write this function like this, if your k naught, if your k is k naught plus p, k1, and k2 is k naught minus p, you get the so-called Phillips curve, which actually was derived even before all this activity. So I think that the Phillips has the anticipation probably about this instability. He just said about this is the most strong resonance. And the Phillips curve is an algebraic curve of genus 2. No, genus 1, because it has a self-crossing, right? And it's a special singular algebraic curve. It should be of genus 3, but it is of genus 1. Genesis 2. And if you put your now, if you look for what's going on again, this is a Phillips curve in the vicinity of center. Then P is, this is a P curve. The P is the deviation from K naught, so it looks like modulation and stability if K naught is very close to K. And then you see that how the unstable mode grows, and their modes are stable. You see they oscillate. You have to hit very carefully to be very close to the resonant curve to get the. This is much more difficult numerical experiment because you have to go to higher nonlinearity, in order of magnitude more difficult. However, you can see what's going on. This is the initial stage of instability, this initial wave. This is just a seed of your Phillips curve. You see how instability grows. This is level lines. Again, this was done by the same group in Moscow. This is the next stage of instability. This is the next further development of instability. You see what's. Level lines. Further development of the instability. You see the instability of such types, they are never stabilized. They go to formation of secondary instabilities and then to chaos. Yes, they never occupied because it's very interesting point. Well, actually was first found in our Zhishenko work that if you look for a coupling coefficient here in this point, it is exactly zero. And actually it's because it also Walter also did this result that one dimensional coupling coefficient is always zero for gravity waves. Now this is the instability of standing wave. You have two waves, a standing wave, there is a resonant curve for standing waves. Now this is a further development of instability for standing waves. Now, I finished my introduction and I start a real talk. The real talk is following. You are a mathematician. And mathematicians sometimes ask unpleasant questions, which physicists have tendency to ignore. Oh, mathematicians, they ask unpleasant questions which are ignored. And the questions mathematicians can ask me, are this equation good from a mathematical viewpoint? What I mean, can you prove existence or uniqueness. I say it's not my business to prove uniqueness and existence. It's another profession. Then, mathematician, if he's a nagging person, can ask me, can you prove this well positiveness of this equation? The Adamar stability by Adamar. And I say, yes, that's a reasonable question. And I will at least explore stability by Hadamard. And what's the result? Negative. These equations are unstable and ill-posed. And it was a recent, and we had some hints, but it was established recently. And this explains us, because these numerical experiments are very difficult and easily becomes unstable. And in all the cases, we introduce a strong stabilizer factors, dissipation, artificial dissipation to both equations, hyperviscosity, which No, I speak about Now I tell you more, and I return to my talk, to last article which I discuss. Is about this problem. And you're asking what? First, you look for the simplest case. Suppose you just eliminated quartic term in this equation, and just no gravity, no capillarity, only this h0 plus h1. G is 0 and sigma is 0, and this equation is equivalent to the following equation. It could be, it's very funny. Look, because in quartic term, eta is going green, it's a linear function on eta. After your variation by eta, eta will gone. And you will get the close equation for psi. And if you go, and this equation is equivalent to this one, where theta is a complex function, analytic in low half plane. But it is completely clear that this equation is ill-posed. Indeed, if you make a linearization, you have the equation which is just have a d eta by dt is dt eta by dk of proportional to some complex number, right? Which actually can have both values. So this equation is ill-posed. So it was so a cubic Hamiltonian is ill-posed, and it was some hope that the next Hamiltonian will fix. We studied this, and the result is no.
Can I say something?
Yeah.
Which is, I take a pan of water, and I like gravity because it holds it in the pan. And if I take negative gravity, it definitely looks ill-posed.
Yes.
If G is zero,
that's what I thought also. It's the way I thought, because physically it should be well-posed problem. Why it's so bad? Because it's a nonlinear system. And the kind of, well, it for me, when I'm working on this problem now, and for me it was a stunning discovery that if you look for some nonlinear problem, some Hamiltonian system, like this. And you found that this problem is imposed. It does not mean that the physical problem is imposed. It could mean that your variables are wrong. To explain my point, I tell you following fact, which is absolutely trivial from mathematical viewpoint, completely trivial. Suppose you have two linear dynamical system. X dot is AX and Y dot is BY. A and B are time independent matrices. Now if I can change a variable, X go to G X prime. Now I can address the question about stability. Of course, they have a stationary state, x equals 0, y equals 0. Is it stable or not? Well, of course, it's a question that you can find in any textbook in differential, ordinary differential equation, right? The question is, you have to study the eigenvalue of all the functions, right? And if it's stable with respect to transformation, if your transformation doesn't depend on time, of course that's stable, because A goes to what, G minus 1. However, if your transformation, if you allow transformation dependent on time, you can make a transformation which transform any system to any another system. That's a very trivial fact. So, for instance, it could be stable, and this could be completely unstable. So the question is about if your transformation... Well, it's just because your transformation, well, you are satisfied with the following condition, gy is equal to g, so it will be something like that, g dot is a g minus gb. You are satisfied with this equation, that's it. So for now, if you are in a nonlinear system, and if you study a stability of your stationary state, of course it does not depend on the choice of variables. Because if choice of variable doesn't depend on time, it's just a nonlinear transformation, you can make any canonical transformation, and if your stationary point was stable, it will be stable in any other. But if you look for periodic trajectories, this is not true. Because when you go to periodic trajectory, your nonlinear transformation, if you linearize near this transformation, your transformation becomes time-dependent. And this is the fact which is, and so this equation, I think these variables are bad. Not because of problem. Problem is very good, but the variation are bad. And you can address the following question. Can you fix this variable? Can you perform a canonical transformation to such variables that the corresponding problem is well posed? Answer, you can. And so far, if you work in framework of cubic and quartic Hamiltonian, by a unique way, there is a unique canonical transformation which makes this equation well posed, and this is the main contain of my talk, and this is a Yes, this is proof of your Poisson. Now, I just got today the absolutely new result obtained with Pasha Lushenko, a friend myself. So it's a story. I made a this calculation to Sorare. I found the transformation which fixes improves the Sorare Hamiltonian. And I asked Pasha, you like to help me because the next step is much more laborious to make a calculation. And I have a hope that it could be done and by unique way. And in a week he came to me and said yes. And we made work together and checked. And really it was found that the equations is unique, the good equations are unique, and I think we call this optimal variation. The canonical transformation is like this. This is the generating function. This is a generation function, S. Depending com old variable eta and new variables r, which are new canonical momenta instead of psi. And you have this. This is some unknown function, and this is a known function, which are. You see that this function is linear in eta and in R. And nonlinear in eta, it's a series in eta. And if you will demand stability, yes, I will. This is a canonical transformation. That's how the psi is new. Xi is new shape of surface. It's improved, corrected shape of surface. And this is how Hamiltonian looks like, right? After the transformation. And the cubic term, in absence of again A and B are the same as was, let me remind you what is that. A is root square on G of K times hyperbolic KH, and B is G plus sigma K square. It's done on the finite depth. And you see that the in absence of in absence of gravity and capillarity, cubic terms becomes very simple. It means that after a proper transformation, your complex Hopf equation, d phi by dt is 1 theta by dt, d theta by dx square, goes to the real Hopf equation, which is well posed. Conjecture. One can do this in all orders of perturbation, and a big challenge to mathematicians to prove this theorem. Because We probably will do for the fifth order, because it's a fifth, it probably it's more or less in if you just use this naive approach like we did. So you can add one more term to your generation function, right? And try to find the next coefficient from the condition of stability, then to stabilize the fifth order, and so on. But how to prove that there is a unique function which is fixed in all orders? This is a question, of course. And it's absolutely new stuff. I think that the calculations were finished 2 weeks ago, more or less. An article is written right now. And of course, we immediately, already the new variables are sent to Moscow. And now Korotkevich and Yachenko, they, in a hectic activity, they rewrite the algorithms in new variable. And we hope that the efficiency of calculations will be in order of magnitude better, because actually what we did, we worked in an unstable coordinate, which we fixed by enormous efforts, compensated with the. I think it's enough for my first talk.